Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This time of year, in the Advent season, when we think of someone visiting, we probably think of family or friends coming to see us for a Christmas party or a more extended stay. A different kind of coming is in view in the historic collect for the third Sunday of Advent, also used in the week that follows. The third Sunday and its week are different from the other three Sundays and their weeks, with a lessening of Advent's penitential discipline and a more joyous tone. Both are reflected in the rose-colored candle that is used on the Advent wreath. Similarly, instead of other weeks' explicit petitions to stir up and explicit references to the Lord's coming, the collect that we pray this week, and as our series continues, consider in this sermon, asks our Lord Jesus Christ to hear our prayers, especially that prayer for him to lighten the darkness of our hearts by his gracious visitation. If you pull out your half-page service outline, printed on its front, you'll find the collect for the third Sunday in Advent and for the week following, and we read that together now. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Now, I admit that the use of the term visitation in the collect can be a little confusing, especially as we in the church use the term visitation with more than one sense. For example, the Virgin Mary's visit to her relative Elizabeth that we heard about in tonight's second reading can be called the visitation of Our Lady. But that use is more in the sense of the Virgin Mary's coming to see Elizabeth for an extended stay, in this case of 3 months. But the visitation for which we pray in the collect is more like the Lord's coming to visit Samuel's mother Hannah, so that after she had given Samuel to the Lord's service, she conceived and bore 3 other sons and 2 daughters. In other words, in the collect, we use the word visitation in what is now its largely obsolete sense of a superior coming to a subordinate and either inspecting the situation or taking action to cause a considerable change in the subordinate's circumstances, for worse or for better. In its full theological sense, the word visitation especially is used of God as the superior power acting in salvation history. Of course, we may not like our superiors, or anyone else for that matter, coming to us as subordinates and either inspecting our situation or taking action to cause a considerable change in our circumstances. Government regulators, other accrediting agencies, or even in-house supervisors at least can be perceived as, if not actually be, intrusive, nitpicky, and otherwise unreasonable. And yet they usually have official responsibility for such oversight, as, in at least some sense, God has with each one of us. When God visits us and confronts us over our sin, whatever our sin might be, and all of us do sin in some way, for we are sinful by nature. When God visits us and confronts us over our sin, there is no real answer. God's law stops every mouth and holds everyone accountable to God. We deserve for death to visit us. As we heard in tonight's first reading, on our own, no one can endure the day of the Lord's coming or stand when he appears. Elsewhere, God says that he will visit the sin of the parents on their children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him, as we all do by nature. If children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren follow in the sinful ways of their ancestors, then God will punish them all, although for their own sin. Punish them, that is, unless they repent. When we answer God's enabling call to repent, an emphasis of this penitential season of Advent, then, instead of a visitation of wrath and punishment for our sin, we receive a visitation of mercy and grace that forgives our sins. The Collect for Advent 3 apparently originally asked the Lord to lighten the darkness of our minds, but somewhere along the way it was changed to refer to the darkness of our hearts, and in some ways that seems to be a better scriptural fit. For example, by divine inspiration, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians that the coming of the Lord brings to light those things now hidden in darkness and discloses the purposes of the heart. And similarly, he later writes to them that God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the man Jesus, God himself comes to visit, or as John the Baptizer's father Zechariah put it, also by divine inspiration, God comes to redeem his people. The sunrise or dayspring from on high visits us because of God's tender mercy. God's visitation to save us is accomplished in the death and resurrection of his coming one, the Messiah, the Christ. Mary's song, the Magnificat, which we heard in tonight's second reading and which we will sing in a few moments, prophetically reflects on all that God would do through her son. Mary's son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray in the collect for him to do, certainly does hear our prayer and lighten the darkness of our hearts by his gracious visitation. To reflect that reality, we may even have come to celebrate his birth within days of the winter solstice, when we in the Northern Hemisphere begin to have more daylight. As we heard in tonight's opening hymn, light shining into the darkness is a theme of Advent, as it is also a theme of Christmas and Epiphany. Jesus' Holy Spirit enlightens us collectively and individually with his gifts. One such gift is the reading and the preaching of Holy Scripture, to which St. Peter, by divine inspiration, writes, "We do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star or the day star rises in our hearts." Another such gift is that same scripture combined with water and holy baptism. Psalm 65 connects God's visitation to water, and holy baptism's role in enlightening us is reflected by the practice of giving burning candles to those baptized for them to use each year in remembering their baptism on its anniversary. Another such gift of the Holy Spirit is that same scripture combined with bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar, which thereby also gives us Jesus' body and blood. The closing hymn that we sang Sunday and will sing again tonight especially points to God's coming to and his presence with us now in the sacrament of the altar. It uses these words: "Now he gently leads us, with himself he feeds us, precious food from heaven, pledge of peace here given, manna that will nourish souls that they may flourish." Through God's use of his words of Holy Scripture, including their sacramental forms, God visits us and not only lightens the darkness of our hearts, but also transforms us. In tonight's office hymn, which almost seemed to be echoing this week's collect, we sang to Jesus these words: When once you visit darkened hearts, then truth begins to shine. Then earthly vanity departs. Then kindles love divine. That transforming love in us enables us, as we heard in tonight's first reading, to bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord, offerings pleasing to the Lord. We join all creation, as we heard in the psalm, in joyful songs of praise. That transforming love divine, or divine love in us, in turn leads us to care about and so to visit others, such as the sick and the imprisoned, orphans and widows. And thereby, we do deeds of love, Jesus says, unto him. Our Lord Jesus Christ both commands our prayers and promises to hear them, to answer them in his own way and in his own time. He has already, in the past, heard and answered our prayers to lighten the darkness of our hearts by visiting us. He likewise now hears and answers, and in the future he will continue to answer our prayers to enlighten us by visiting us. Whether or not we use the words stir up and come, he does stir up and come, visiting us not in the wrath and judgment that we deserve, but in mercy and grace for his own sake, to the glory of his holy name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.